we need Mother Nature to cooperate. It looks like it's kind of a slow start to this spring season. How would you describe where we're sitting at this point?
Yeah, that's a good description. It's kind of the winter that won't let go. I guess, you know, looking at the forecast, it looks like things are just going to be a slow, steady warm-up here. Kind of looking at the lows especially, right? We're eventually we get over freezing at night, so that's a plus, and it just kind of trickles up. I think in comparison to other years where we've had the really warm weather, that sometimes didn't do us any favors either. So maybe slow and steady is the way to go.
Particularly this, like you said, the overnight temperatures, we just can't seem to catch a break here. We're staying in the 30s and maybe in the 40s overnight. It doesn't help.
No, it sure doesn't. It sure doesn't. I think one plus we do have, though, is most fields were left in pretty good condition last fall. There isn't, you know, we weren't muddy. You have massive ruts in most places that we have to contend with. So that sun has got some power right now, and it's warming those soils up, and we're seeing that.
Are you seeing concern for, in our region, in some of the earlier crops, some of the cereal crops, maybe sugar beets, those kind of things, or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, nothing yet, I guess. You know, it looked earlier like we were going to get in real early, so it feels like we're late. But when you look at the calendar, right, we're not even in May yet. So I think we're in good shape. There will obviously be a focus to get those, you know, the wheat in and for sure the sugar beets. I think it's pretty steady, the course, right now. There's always some concern. But, again, just looking into that forecast, I think things are going to be pretty consistent.
In addition to Mother Nature, we're dealing with high input costs. I think it looked like it was going to be a big corn year. Do you see any transition just because of some of the variables we've got with corn this year?
Yeah, I think most of it at this point is maybe more market-focused. You know, those soybeans are getting some people's attention. The fertilizer does come into play with those high costs. We've probably made some what might be referenced as untraditional decisions this year because of those costs. But, you know, I think that's okay. We've got options, right? There's products in our marketplace that we offer that can help preserve that. And I think that's what we're going to have to do this year is just really evaluate, make sure we're hitting those goals for those growers and what their outcomes or desired outcomes are. And then just giving them options on products that can help them manage that high-cost fertilizer this year.
So what are some of those products or considerations that growers should have?
Yeah, well, on the product side, I mean, it's actually pretty exciting, right? We've got the traditional, you know, nitrogen stabilizers, phosphorus stabilizers. We've got, you know, some different chelated products that help, you know, reduce that tie-up and keep those nutrients free. We have those in our CHS lineup. And then also, you know, with these new biologicals, biostimulants, and things that are coming on that really, in a lot of cases, help with stress mitigation. You know, products that are built for weather just like this, that cold, maybe wet soils that we're going to deal with and just give those emerging plants the best footing to stand on.
Once we get rolling planting these fields, it certainly will be a lot of things hitting that grower all at once. We always want to get those pre's on and make sure we're taking care of weed control. What are your recommendations that we make sure we address weed management, I guess, at the start of the season?
Yeah, great call out. I think it's vital to start looking at residuals if you're not. We see residuals growing every year. Just a great way to combat those weeds, especially when we evaluate the resistance and other things that we're contending with. Great way to just never let those weeds out of the ground, right? There's a lot of talk, and I'm a believer in that once that weed comes up, now we're playing catch up, and that's a bad day. So residuals are a great way to manage the whole weed control program, excuse me. But definitely something has to be planned. It is a busy season, and to get that sprayer out there to follow the planter or whatever that looks like, definitely take some planning.
Yeah, it does. A lot of things hitting that grower all at once. Other things that we should have top of mind is, you know, we got a little more planting time, I guess, as we wait to pull that planter in the field. What should be top of mind for that grower?
I guess you brought up earlier just, you know, making changes and things like that. I would just call out, right, we put a plan together in many cases, you know, last fall or over the winter at some point. There was a reason for that, so let's stick to that as best we can. There's definitely options in the marketplace, products and other things. Talk to your local CHS agronomist. They've got a lot of these products they can offer and options to help match those growers, that grower situation.
Kind of back to that weed thing, resistance certainly an issue. The weeds aren't going to go away. Any strategy that we should have to make sure we're taking care of some of those issues?
Well, I think strategy, you know, we talked a little bit about residuals. I think that's the cornerstone for a good weed control program. Watch rates, right? I think about back when I was younger, even as a kid, how we used to try and cut rates. One of the biggest issues that brought on this resistance was just cutting rates. So make sure you're putting the right amount of active ingredient out there. You're controlling those weeds the first time. Costs are definitely an issue and one we're all watching this year, but it's still most important to kill those weeds on the first pass.
Are there any recommendations to, as growers look to, you know, their bottom line, their ROI on this this upcoming growing season? Any things where they can maybe make some cutbacks?
Well, I don't know that I would say cutbacks necessarily, right? When you think of fertility, we know we need that nutrition there to have that successful crop. I think there are different choices we can make. Maybe we pull back some fertilizer, look at top dressing situations. We can bring in maybe some foliar nutrition to bridge some gaps along the way. So maybe some more untraditional choices than we normally would make in our region up here. But definitely options out there for doing things different, but still enough to make that to help those growers reach their goals.
What's your sense? Did growers have the majority of their fertilizer locked in before we got into this early spring season and the current spike in fertilizer prices?
You know what? Actually, a lot of growers did. They did a really good job. They were watching this. They were either layering in fertilizer along the way or, you know, got a lot on last fall. Just kind of stick to their what they normally did. So, obviously, there's some outliers out there and you know, It's the thing we definitely got to worry about. As this spring hits, the whole state's going to hit simultaneously, and logistics are an issue we deal with every year, but they'll for sure rear their ugly head this year.
Tim, are you seeing, is the frost fully out of the ground yet, or are we still working through that?
Well, you know, we just got a rain here a couple days ago. I think that's definitely going to help. I don't think it's completely out with these cold temperatures. I really don't have a hard answer I can give you on that, Don, but I know I just saw a frost boil in my own driveway here a few days ago. So I don't think it's completely out. We're going to need some warm temperatures or some warm rains, which maybe this rain will help do that.
Yeah. These fields are still quite saturated. And guys, it's hard to be patient when we were looking at the calendar, but we don't want to make sure we're going in muddy conditions either.
No, that feels good at the moment, but it usually shows some issues later in the season, right? When we push that those wet soils. You know, I will say a lot of growers I've seen out there are making maybe again some different decisions. I've seen some of the heavy harrows and you know, instead of cultivators and things like that. But again, it's a I think it's a compliment to the growers that left their fields in really good shape last fall that set themselves up to maybe have that freedom to make those decisions now as we head into these situations, this environment that we're dealing with.
Great. Anything I'm missing we didn't focus in on here, Tim?
No, I don't think so. I guess the only other thing I might throw out there is just, you know, looking at that in-furrow fertilizer, liquids, PGRs, things like that, anything we can do, that's just a great way to get that crop off to a good start. Those early season roots, it'll be accessible. You know, that's one other option for these growers, too, to consider if they're not, or consider what else they can drop in with, in their tanks as they're planting that seed.